Okay, so we welcome everybody back to the post-Pesach Shiurim. And we're going to start now from the Sugya Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, where we left off. But now we're going to be discussing for the next couple of Shiurim the topic, more specific topic, of B'fanei Nechtav, B'fanei Nechtav. Okay, so let's read a little bit of the Gemara first, and then we'll proceed to analyze what the issue seems to be. Okay. The Gemara here in Dalet Amud Aleph, this is where we left off. We spent a lot of time on the last, we spent many shiurim on the last couple of lines, because they were about Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. Now we'll be moving more quickly through the Gemara. So the Gemara here says as follows. This is about a third or a quarter of the way down the daf from Dalet Amud Aleph on the top. Okay, everybody has that? Tznan, Rabbi Gamliel, if you want the exact lines, it's 3, 6, 9, I'm not sure if I, it's about 12 or so lines down from the top of the page. Tznan, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, af ha-mevi min ha-rekem hu min ha-cheger, and Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afilu mikvar ludim lilud. So this is a quote of the Mishnah. Let's just remember the Mishnah again for a moment. Mishnah says that ha-mevi get min medina sayam, if you bring a get from chutz laretz, Tzorech lomar b'fonai nechta b'fonai nechta. You have to declare b'fonai nechta b'fonai nechta. Now, what is Medina Sayam? Right? After all, if you're maybe Meretz Yisrael, then you don't need to say b'fonai nechta b'fonai nechta. So, what is Medina Sayam? What is Eretz Yisrael? So, basically, the Tanoim and the Mishnah weigh in on certain specific locations. So, Rabbi Gamliel says that if you bring a get from Rechem and Cheger, you require b'fonei nechtam, b'fonei nechtam. And Rabbi Eliezer says, even mikvar ludim lilut. Okay. What is the significance of, if there's a category called Eretz Yisrael, there's a category called Medina Sayam, so why the Tanaim, you know, being specific about kvar ludim lilut and rekem and cheger? So the Gemara explains, Omer Abaya, v'ayaros ha-smuchos l'Eretz Yisrael, u'mublos v'tchum Eretz Yisrael askina. What we're talking about here is Medinos, countries or that are on the border of Eretz Yisrael. And that could take place in two ways. Number one, the question of smuchos. You have, just over the border. That's called smuchos. Rechem and Cheger are smuchos to Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, sometimes you have something which is even closer than smuchos. That's called muvlos. Meaning, the boundaries of a country are generally not perfectly rectangular. Well, certainly not square, but they're not rectangular either. They're always jagged, they're going in and out. So you can sometimes, if you were to take, I guess, the coordinates, north, south, east, west, and you were to make, like a little box out of them, or a circle, you could make actually whatever you like. But the point is, if you were to take, distinct points on the boundaries, and you were to make like an invisible square or circle, whatever it would. Yeah, square. I'm just trying to be. The truth is, it could be a. It could be, depends how many. It depends how many points on the. If you want to do north, south, east, and west, then obviously it has to be rectangular. What I'm saying is, if you want to take other points, that we know to be in Eretz Yisrael and put a dot here and a dot here and a dot here and a dot here and a dot there, then it could look like anything. Okay. But the point is that there almost always will be, if you want to use more general system, there will be muvlos. Muvlos mean that they are enclosed within the invisible borders, but they're not part of the border because the border is jagged. It goes in and out, etc. So muvlos and smuchos. So the Gemara says as follows: Amar Abba Bar Chana, l'didi chazali hahu asra. I myself have witnessed probably the difference between kfar ludim and lud. V'have kimidei kuvi lepumbedisa. Right, it's like from Kew Gardens to Jamaica States. Okay, lahavdil. Okay, it's in Babel. He was speaking to from his knowledge of Babel. He said it's like from Bekubita to Pupadisa. That's how close. It's a skip and a hop, one to the other. Okay, So then the Gemara explains, Michlal, the Tanakhama Savar. Now, let's think about this. Rabbi Elazar is telling you that Samuk, Eretz Yisrael, even though technically it's out of the border, requires Bafana Nechmana Nechtam. And Rabbi Elazar is going further and saying, not only that, even Muvlos that are over the border, but they're right incorporated within the invisible lines of the rectangle, let's call it, right? Even they require Bafana Nechtam, Bafana Nechtam. So Michlal, if this is what I'm going to believe, those are telling us, the Tanakhama Sabar Hani Lo Tzarech. Apparently the Tanakhama thinks that even though technically, when it comes to Trumos and Maestros and Challah and Shemitah, they're outside of Eretz Yisrael. However, when it comes to B'fanei Nechtam, you don't require B'fanei Nechtam just like in Eretz Yisrael. That must be what they hold. And then Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar are coming to tell us, no, we are actually very rigorous and technical about the borders. My love, so now let's try to figure out, probably, it seems like, the argument whether or not smuchos and muvlos have to say b'fanei nechtam or not depends on the following issue. T'mar sabar l'fishin b'kiyin l'shma b'hani gmiri. Umar sabar l'fishin eidim b'tzim l'kaimo b'hani nami lo shchichi. I would say the following. The question of l'shma is a question of education. Right? Education doesn't stop, generally speaking, at the technical formal border. Right? Education is about influence, osmosis in education. So if something is just a little bit over the border, right, in terms of gemira, lishma, all of a sudden, you know, the impact of the presence of, what's that? Exactly, like gerrymandering, you know, the school district issues. So the point is that the cultural influence of Eretz Yisrael is felt beyond its borders. But if we're talking about accessibility of travel, right, that's already a different matter. The border, there are border guards, or maybe there's a fence, right? So what the Gemara is saying is this argument, whether we're technical about the actual borders, or we're a little bit more flexible and we take into consideration the influence of Eretz Yisrael, right, that is going to depend whether we're talking about Lishma or whether we're talking about Mitzui and the Kaim. That's the Gemara's argument. So the Gemara says, Rabba, but if that's the case, then what comes out? Something very strange. There's an argument between Rabba and Rabba whether B'fanei Nechtam is based on the requirements of Lishma or based on Eina Eidim Mitzuyim Lekaimo, the concern that you won't be able to authenticate the signatures if a challenge is made to this particular shtar. So now we're going to say that the argument in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama on one hand and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar is the same argument, so then it isn't the argument of Rabba and Rabba. It's the argument of the Tanaim, right? So the Gemara says, no. Look, Rabba Matar Tzultame, Rabba Matar Tzultame, the Kul Amal Fishim Bikim Lishma. Rabba thinks everything depends on Lishma, and nonetheless he can explain this argument. Bahaka Bahaka Mithling, it is the argument. Tanakama Sabar, Hani Kimida Smuchos, Migmar, Gmiri. Since they are Smuchos, so Migmar Gmiri. So the impact of Lishma is felt. Also Rabba Gamliel Meimar, Muvlos, Gmiri, Smuchos, Lo Gmiri. Then Rabbi Gamliel came along and he said, listen, if it's within the, you know, invisible borders, there the cultural influence is strong. But even if it's only Smuchos, the fact is that it's not Gmiri. Okay, that's an interesting argument. How much Gmiri, how much does education really able to traverse the borders, etc. Also, Rabbi Elazar LeMeimar, Muvlos Nami Lo, and then Rabbi Elazar came along and he said, not even Muvlos. Even then you require B'fanei Nechtam. Why? Shelo Tachlok B'Medinas Hayam. What does that mean? We don't want to start dividing, we don't want to make the distinctions within Medinas Hayam. It's basically the concept of a Lo Plok. Right? If we're making a distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, when it comes to B'fanei Nechtam, we're going to be rigorous about it, even if we acknowledge that there's no problem to solve, because certainly when it comes to Muvlos, right, there's no question that the border is not where the cultural influence stops. Nonetheless, Shelo Taklo B'medina Sayyam. Okay, we'll get back to the significance of this in a minute. And Rava Mitaritz L'Tameid, same idea. What does Rava say? Eino Eidem Mitzvim L'Kaimbo. The Kula Amal Fishen Eidem Mitzvim L'Kaimbo. The Tanakama Savar Hanikim V'Smuchos Mishkach Shchichi. Right? Even if it's only a question, even if it's Samuch that we're talking about, it's just over the border, you can find who you need to verify and to authenticate the signatures. Also, Rav Gamliel L'Meimar, Muvlos Shchichi, Smuchos Lo Shchichi. No. There are border guards. There is a different protocol. Maybe there is, a fence or some sort of a border. And therefore, there's less of an opportunity, right, to ensure Kiyum Sharos. Asher B'loz L'meimar, Muvlos Nami Lo. Even Muvlos require B'far Nechtam, and you can't rely on Mitzuyim L'kaimo, even though Muvlos is even superior to Smuchos. Again, why? Shelo Tachlo B'medina Sayam, Lo Plok. So that's one discussion in the Gemara. Let's move on a little further, and then we'll explain what the issue is. Tanan, another line of the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Chachamim omrim, Eino tzar sheyomer b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, ela hamevi medina sayam, v'hamolech. What does that mean? If you are bringing a get from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, you certainly require b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, right? After all, there's no lishma, there's a problem between the kaimo, etc. What about the opposite? Let's say you bring a get from Eretz Yisrael, it was written in Eretz Yisrael, to Chutz Laaretz. Does that require b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? So the Tana, the Chachamim say, Eino tzar sheyom b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, ela hamevi mimedina sayam v'hamolech. Either maybe or molech, whether it's from Eretz Yisrael to Medina Sayyam or Medina Sayyam to Eretz Yisrael, either one requires Fanadakta Fanadakta. So the Gemara says Michlal. The implication is the Tanakama Savar Molech Lo Tzarech. The implication is that this is an argument in the Mishnah, and there's a Mandamar who says if the origin of the get is Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, then you require the Fanadakta Fanadakta. But if the get starts off in Eretz Yisrael and transferred to Chutz Laaretz, then you don't require the Fanenach, the Fanenach. Okay, that's an interesting argument. Now the Gemara says, my love, al kamiflegi. How do we analyze the basis for this argument? Probably they're arguing about the following. The Mar Sabar, Lefi She'en Bikin, Lishma, again, Rabba and Rabba. Meaning, one Mandamar holds, the problem of Fanenach, the Fanenach is a problem of Lishma. Now, if it's a problem of Lishma, so then, if the get comes from Medina Sayyam to Eretz Yisrael, there's a problem of Lishma. But if the get comes from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, that's not a problem of Lishma. The whole point is that in Eretz Yisrael, they're Gemiri, the Lishma. So the Hani Gemiri, there should be no problem. Umar Sabar, the problem is, She'ein Eidem Etzuyim L'Kaimo, it's a problem of cross-border traffic between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. What difference does it make whether it's from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz or Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael? If it's a border problem, then it's a problem that is bidirectional, obviously. So the Gemara says again, can that be? Can it be that the argument between Rabba and Rabba to Amoraim is already reflected in a Machlokas HaTanaim? Then it wouldn't be Rabba and Rabba, right? So once again, the Gemara says, Rabba Mitaritz L'Tameh, and Rabba Mitaritz L'Tameh, and Rabba Mitaritz L'Tameh. No, they don't argue about Gmiri versus Shchich in the Kaimo. They argue each according to his own position. Now the Gemara analyzes. Rabba Mitaritz L'Tameh, Rabba will explain as follows. The problem is a problem of Lishma. But if it's a problem of Lishma, how can we explain the problem from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz? Hacha b'gzeiras molech atumevi kamiflegi. The argument revolves around another kind of loplug issue. Can you distinguish directions? Maybe, since Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael requires Fanenachtam, Fanenachtam, so too Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz requires Fanenachtam, Fanenachtam as well, even though the reasoning behind the Takada does not apply. It's a kind of loplug, again, a molech atu maybe. The Tanakama Savalogos in a Molech Atu Maybe. Tanakama distinguishes between Molech and Maybe because for him it's the substantive right reasoning that is koveya, and Rabbanan Basrai Sabri goes through the molakatu mainly. As for Rava Mitaritz Latane, the Kulam Lafishinid Mitsuim Lakaimo, if it's Mitsuim Lakaimo, that certainly applies in both directions. How can you explain the Ban Damar who says that you'll distinguish between Navy and Molech? The answer is you don't have to explain him because Rava's going to tell you he doesn't exist. Okay? For Rabbanan Basrai Lefrushe Taima de Tanakama Udasu. What was the assumption of the question? That if there's a Ban Damar that says Molech as well as Navy, that he's there to be contrasted with a Tanakama who disagrees. No, Rava will tell you this is not a contrast, this is an explanation. This is an explanation. Okay. So what do we have so far? Two interesting issues, right? The question of the boundaries, smuchos, and especially muvlos of Eretz Yisrael. Do you say before Eretz Yisrael? That's issue number one. Issue number two, whether you say molech, atu, maybe. In both cases, the Gemara seems to introduce an argument, roughly speaking, a lo plug question. Do we say lo plug when it comes to Mfanay Nechtam, Mfanay Nechtam? Is it an across the border, if you don't mind the pun, kind of takana? Or is this takana limited only to its real motivation? If that's the case, you won't say lo tachlok b'chutz laretz, and you would say molech atu maybe. Okay. Now, let me just read on a little bit more in the Gemara, and then we'll try to analyze what's going on here. It's not. Another point in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, I may be get me Medina le Medina sayya. Let's say a get is written in one country of the diaspora, and it's brought to another country of the diaspora. Until now, we've been discussing traffic between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz in both directions. What about within Chutz Laretz, but from one country, all Chutz Laretz is not the same, obviously. From one jurisdiction to another. So the rule is, you require b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. That seems reasonable. There's no lishma, and there's going to be a problem of mitzvah mekaimo, because you're talking about different sovereignties. Okay. So the Gemara says, what's important about this, though, is the diyuk. Ha, b'osa medina, b'medina sayam, lo tzarech. What will happen if you have a single sovereignty, but within medina sayam? In America, in Canada, in France, right? Is there a requirement within the boundaries of that country from Fanei Nechtam to Fanei Nechtam or not? So the Gemara is saying, the diuk is that there would be no requirement. It's only been Medina, the Medina, the Medina Sayyam, from one to another. But within the same Medina, no Fanei Nechtam, Fanei Nechtam. So the Gemara says, L'Rava Nicha, according to Rava, who says the problem is one of Mitzuyin Lakaimo, that makes sense, because within the boundaries of a single sovereignty, it's Mitzuyin Lakaimo, there's no problem. But if L'Rava, who says that the problem is Lishma, Kasha, because the whole point is that in Medina Sayyam, we don't trust in their commitment to Lishma. And if that's the case, then that's true, even if it's all internal to the same country. So the Gemara says, "Lo tema hab osa medina sayam, osa medina b'medina sayam lo tzarich, ela ema mi medina le medina b'eretz Yisrael lo tzarich." Meaning what? How did we come to the conclusion that osa medina b'medina sayam, right? There is no requirement of a funa nechta funa nechta by making a diuk. What was the diuk? The Mishnah actually says, "Mi medina le medina." Medina Sayyam requires, so he said, only inter, but within, no. So the Gemara now says, no, maybe that's the wrong diuk. But what the Mishnah was trying to indicate was not the contrast to Ba'osa Medina, B'Medina Sayyam, but Mi Medina, Li Medina, B'Eretz Yisrael. Let's say Eretz Yisrael itself is divided up into different sovereignties. Right? Hard to believe, unfortunately. Unfortunately, it can happen, right? Yehuda and Galil, sometimes it can be even worse than that, right? So, but the Gemara speaks about Yehuda and Galil and the difficulty of traveling between one and the other. next year we might learn Chasamatim. There's a big question if you have somebody who's in Yehuda and his properties in Galil. You have it a bunch of times. Okay. So what would happen then? So that's maybe that's the diuk. That we might have thought that the Medina, the Eretz Yisrael would require a Faninachta Faninachtam. So we're being told that Medina le Medina be Eretz Yisrael lo tzarech, even though they're different jurisdictions, nonetheless within Eretz Yisrael you do not require the Faninachta Faninachtam. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ha behedja ktanila. You don't need a diuk, a contrast from the words Mi Medina le Medina be Medina Sayam, to know that Mi Medina le Medina be Eretz Yisrael doesn't require the Faninachtam. That is obvious, and that's explicit from the mission itself, because we say I maybe get the Eretz Yisrael ain't so clever b'faninachtam. So maybe get the Eretz Yisrael doesn't distinguish between Osa Medina or Medina Acheres Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't discriminate between one or many sovereignties. So we already know the din that within Eretz Yisrael, even different jurisdictions does not require b'faninachtam. So the Gemara says as follows. If we only had the language of the Mishnah to teach us that there's no requirement of b'faninachtam within Eretz Yisrael, even between different Medinas, you would say that means if you didn't say b'faninachtam mi Medina le Medina b'Eretz Yisrael, the get is kosher. But maybe l'chatchila there is such a requirement. Hamash Milan, that even the Chatkila, there's no such requirement. Okay. Now this idea, to stop for a minute, that one might have thought in Eretz Yisrael that there would be a requirement of b'fanaynachtam, l'chatkila, but not b'di'evet. What does b'di'evet mean? And what does l'chatkila mean? So if you look at Rashi, there's a very fascinating Rashi. It's, in my opinion, a neglected Rashi. At least as far as I know, I don't think people pick up on it. Rashi says, Hava mina hani mili dieved. Right? Everybody see it? On the top of the page. In mine, it's the first of the narrow lines. Hava mina hani mili dieved. Di maisi mi medina le medina beretz Yisrael velo nichtav lefanav. If you brought the get without it being nichtav lefanav, ein tzorech lipso shlichuso altach. You should know the shlichus is not disqualified. Why do I think this is an important Rashi? If b'fanaynachtam is ma'akev, let's say take chutzlaretz. I maybe get medina sayam tzorech lomer b'fanaynachtam. And if he doesn't, so midrabanan, there's a problem. There's a problem with the shlichus? The problem with the get? Or there's a problem with the hechshar get? Can you rely on it for her to remarry? It's a problem with the shlichus? Very strange Rashi. Rashi seems to be saying that had there been such a halacha, at least in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe in general, had it been b'di'eved in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe when it is b'di'eved in Chutz Laretz, midrabanan, there's a pagam in the shlichus. That's very strange. Normally we'd say there's a chashash ziyuf or lo lishma. It's a problem in the get, not in the shlichus. That's point number one. Number two, Rashi here doesn't say v'lo omar b'fanaynachtam. He says v'lo nechtav l'fanav. Right? Implying that the problem isn't the communication, or only the communication of b'fanaynachtam, but it is the experience of nichtav lefanav. What does that have to do with anything? Don't we need b'fanaynachtam to establish the kashrus ashtar, either lishma or in a mezuyah? And if you look at the next Rashi, aval lechatchila iav emamlich habamorinon deleiku alei. So it sounds like Rashi thinks that the lechatchila is not necessarily that you declare b'fanaynachtam in Eretz Yisrael mimedina l'medina, but that you be present when the get was written. And the question is again, what's going on here. Why? I mean, why do we care about presence, Bishas Ksiva, if you're not communicating it necessarily? Now, there might be a practical answer, and Tosus may be alluding to it, although it's a bit of a strange Tosus too. If you look at the Tosus Dibur Maskol, Imiahi Hava Mina Hanimili Dieved. Okay? The big, long Tosus on the side. But we're not going to read the whole thing. Go down towards the end, go two-thirds of the way down, and look at the second answer of Tosus. Tosus tried to explain, what's this Luchatkila, what's this Bidiyad? So look at the Ode Nira Lari. Does everybody have that? It's about two-thirds of the way down the Tosus. The Ode Nira Lari, Da'aka Perusha, Hanimili Dieved, Shelo Ra'a, Ksivas Haged, V'chasli Maso. Same like Rashi. He didn't witness, he didn't experience the Ksiva and the Chasimas Haged. The Yachal Litna Lo Be'eretz Yisrael. Aval L'chadchila Tzarech She'yireh Ksiva Saged V'chasimah So Kedei She'yuchal Omer B'fon Anechta. Kamash Melah D'lo Tzarech. So Tosus adds something that Rashi doesn't have. Like Rashi, he too explains that the L'chadchila and the B'di'eved refer not to the communication of B'fon Anechta, but to the experience of B'fon Anechta. Right? On the other hand, unlike Rashi, he adds Kedei sheyuchal, if there's a challenge, he'll be able to declare B'fon Anechta. So it's something in between. But the simple reading of the Gemara is that the L'chadchila, the B'di'eved, refers to Amiras B'fon Anechta. L'chadchila, you should say it. B'di'eved, if you don't, you can get away with it. Right? Rashi made the whole thing about the experience of B'fon Anechta. Tosus made it about the experience of B'fon Anechta, but because of its significance to the potential of the declaration of B'fon Anechta. So Tosus isn't as difficult as Rashi, but it's still a little bit difficult. Is there any relationship between the two difficulties in Rashi? No, I like to say if you multiply anomalies, you can, you know, sometimes come up with an answer. Certainly, you know, it's something to always attempt. So Rashi says two strange things, right? Number one, the psul, if there would be a psul, wouldn't just be in the get, it would be in shlichus. And number two, that the problem is the shliach experiencing rather than saying b'fon anechta.
Okay. Discussing
the second shliach? No. He's not talking about that here. I mean, it almost sounds a little like that, but it's not. I mean, the issue of mili, minsuri, the shliach, shliach, also shliach. Yes. The Gemara speaks about those problems later on.
And the second shliach.
Right, there is such a thing. I mean, no question about it. That's the Mishnah on later on, in Chav Gimel on the base, talks about that. That, you know, if the shliach halacha becomes ill and he has to transfer the shlichus to another shliach, so he has to declare b'fon anechta in Beis Din prior to handing over the get. There is such a halacha, but it doesn't seem that we're not talking about that here. So it's strange what Rashi is talking about. So we'll have to, although the fact that is done may also point to something about the shlichus itself. So I think it's a good point. So let's think for a moment. Let's hold off on this for one more minute. Let me just...
Rashi can't be ignoring the Amira because he's going on the Gemara. The Gemara says that Sorach Omar.
No, the Gemara says, Hani mil l'chadchila, but what is l'chadchila?
He says,
it means the ability to say it, but not actually... That makes it even stranger, right?
He can't be ignoring the
Amira. Well, Tosus is too. Tosus is saying Kadesha Yuchal Lomar. But it's not. He doesn't have to say it. He has to experience it, so he'll be able to say it if he needs to say it. But that's not the simple reading of the Gemara, as you point out. The simple language of the Gemara is that he actually has to say B'fon Anechta.
Rashi says that the Shliach can't say it because it's not there.
Yeah, he never experienced it. But you could still say, I mean, there's no reason to Rashi have said that. Rashi should have said, l'chadchila, when he's there, he should say it. And b'di'eved, if he didn't say it, it's okay too. Instead, Rashi said he wasn't there, and therefore, He didn't experience it.
The godliness changes.
We have to explain why, but that's exactly what he's saying.
Right. Isn't that Pshita, that there's a linkage between the experience and the Amira?
I'm sorry, again?
I mean, isn't Pshita,
well, you can't have the Amira without the experience.
Yeah.
But why emphasize, why not take, if I was reading the Gemara and interpreting it, I would say, obviously the case was b'fana nechtav of the experience. The lechatchila is, it's not enough to experience it, right? It's got to be communicated. And the evidence is, well, even if you didn't communicate it, it's good.
Right.
Rashi's emphasizing exactly. Rashi seems to be saying that the lechatchila is only the experience, or it's sufficient that there be the experience, and that's what's strange. So Tosus at least adds, and you're quite right, maybe because of the language of the Gemara, kedei sheyuchal lomar. But Rashi doesn't even say that. Although you're right. I mean, somehow you. Okay, I'll explain what I think it means in just a second. Let me build up another issue for a moment before we get there. What is going on? So far we have four phenomena. We have Shalotachlok B'chutz La'aretz. We have Molechatu Mevi, right? We have Rashi's Pagam with the Shlichos. And we have Rashi's L'chatchila and the Bidyavet of the experience rather than the communication of the Panenachta, the Panenachta. That's what we have so far. Hopefully, we're working towards something. So let me just read a little bit more in the Gemara, and then I'll explain what I think, the issue may be. Ika demosiv la, then Gemara goes on to say, is that what we're up to? The Ika demosiv la haki. Some people had this whole reported, this whole discussion, that started from the other direction. Some people said the question of the Gemara was as follows. The Mishnah says, "I maybe get mi medina le medina be medina sayam tzarchlam b'fanenachta b'fanenachtam." So the original diuk was, "Ha mi medina le medina be'eretz Yisrael lo tzarech." But if it's within Eretz Yisrael, medina le medina, you don't need b'fanenachta b'fanenachta. This is how they reported it. Le rabba nicha. That makes sense according to Rabbo that the problem is Lishma. So even if it's Yehuda and Galil and even worse, the point is if Eretz Yisrael, they're Gemiri, but Lishma, we don't care about sovereignty. It's about culture, as we explain, right? But L'Rabba, who says the problem is Mitsuya L'Kaimo, access. So if you have different governments, running the different Medinos within Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have a problem Mitsuya L'Kaimo. L'Rabba, Kasha. So the Gemara says, "Lo temer l'medina, mi'medina l'medina b'eretz Yisrael lo tzarich." Maybe we shouldn't be medayek that you don't need b'fanenachta b'fanenachtam within Eretz Yisrael, even between different medinos. Ela ema haba osa medina b'medina sayam lo tzarich. Maybe the diuk is, as I'm saying, it's going the other direction. Not to be memayit Eretz Yisrael medina l'medina. That really does require b'fanenachta b'fanenachtam. But it's to be memayit medina b'osa ha'medina. Then Medina Sayam, Avo Medina, the Medina of Eretz Yisrael, my tzarech, you would need b'fanenachta. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, listen, the Hamevi, the Medina, the Medina Sam. Then you should say Hamevi, the Medina, the Medina, because every time it's Medina, the Medina, you require b'fanenachta, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Laaretz. So why do they bother spelling out Medina, the Medina, the Medina Sayam? After all, Bein Beretz Yisrael, Bein Bechutz La'aretz, you'll always require Faninachta, Faninachta. So the Gemara says, you're right. Liola, mi medina, le medina, Beretz Yisrael, nami, lo tzarech. You don't require the Faninachta, Faninachtam from Yehuda to Galil within Eretz Yisrael. Why? After all, this is a problem for Rabba, Eidim, Tzim, the Kaimo, they're different governments. So what are you going to do? The answer is, right, the Kivan, the Ika, the Regalim, very beautiful idea. Since there's a chiyuv of Aliyah L'Regel, and everybody has to be able to make their way through Eretz Yisrael, so Mishkach Shchichi. So the Gemara says Tinach Bizman Shebeis Hamikdash Kayam. That's all fine and good when there's Aliyah L'Regel, right? But Bizman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kayam, my Ikel name. By the way, there's a very famous some of the Achronim. I think the Maritzkayas here has an interesting comment. He says, well, if the issue is an issue of Aliyah L'Regel, so why is it limited to within Eretz Yisrael? From Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael, it should be Shchichi as well. So he says, you see from here.
Where
do we have to? Oh, okay. That's a question. What do you mean, the karka in Eretz Yisrael? The Rambam doesn't quote that. I mean, that's. Yeah, but the Rambam, it's an interesting phenomenon. The Rambam never quotes that halacha. But he says something similar. But he says, you see from here that those poskim who take the view that the din of aliyah lechiyuv of aliyah leregel only applies to somebody who's found within Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz, which is a big debate. Anyways, Derech Agav, a little bit of Torah's Gilu Regalim or Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says something very interesting also here. Kivin diki but the din bekvi mishkach shchichi. The Gemara says even shalom bezman aliyah leregel, Eretz Yisrael was still a central place for Torah and for Horah. And there always was a pathway, Kimidika Batidinim, Dikvi Mishkach Shrichi. Again, tomorrow we celebrate Yom HaTzmaut. These are interesting Gemaras always. You see that outside from the Dinim of Mitzvah Satlius Baharat, there are so many other aspects of life in Eretz Yisrael. The centrality of Batidinim and other such things, just dimensions of them, have nothing to do with Kedushas Karka, but just opportunities, even things like Aliyah L'Regel. Aliyah L'Regel means to go to the Beis HaMikdash, but if you're within the orbit of Eretz Yisrael, so maybe that's when the Chiyuv, you know, to be Le'ra'os B'fnei HaMikdash is Chas. It's a different kind of life, such that that Chiyuv becomes more concrete. Again, in theory, you could have somebody who's, just to use our Gemara, somebody who's living in Muvlos or in Smuchos, they might be closer to Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash than somebody living, you know, in the outlying, you know, borders of Eretz Yisrael. But for purposes of Aliyah L'Regel, that person is more distant because he's in the Parsha of the Mikdash, Al-Pidin. He's living on a certain, you know, Madrega. His spiritual opportunities, and therefore his spiritual demands, are going to be greater. This is pick these things up.
What? Time.
I'm sorry?
Between the chagim.
No, what we're saying is that if there's a dispute that arises about, again, we can always be patient. You know, there is a regal every X amount of months. That wouldn't be unreasonable, apparently. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tani, Rav Shimon Amila, Rav Pila Mehegemonia Lehegemonia. Even from one jurisdiction to another in the same area, right, there would be a requirement of Faninaka. There was a certain city called Asasios, the Hayuba Beis Egmonios, there were two governments in the same city, and you know, as is to be expected with our two governments in the same city, you know, what are they doing there? Each one, you know, was careful about his turf, right? Therefore, there was a requirement of faninakta faninakta. So Gemara says again, l'rabba nicha, l'rabba kasha, according to Rava, between the kaimo, right, he has his fence, we understand this, even within Eretz Yisrael, even within a single place, as long as there are two governments, two sovereignties. But according to Rabbah, that it's all about the Shema, Kasha, what's the problem? So the Gemara says, here's a big important point that Gemara says for the first time, but it sticks with it from now on. Rabbah islay de Rabbah. Till now we thought that Rabbah's view that it's a chisar l'shma, and Rava's view that it's a chisar of Eidim Mitzvim Mekaimo are mutually exclusive. That's how the Gemara goes back and forth. You know, proofs for Rava, proofs for Rabbah. For the first time, and it sticks, the Gemara says the debate is only in one direction. Rabbah agrees with Rava that you have to address the problem of authenticating the get. The only thing is, he thinks that in addition to that, there's a second problem, the problem of l'shma. So whenever there's a problem of between the kaimo, Bain Rabba will agree that there's a need for Faninaktam, even within Eretz Yisrael itself. Treyegmonia. But the argument is, when you've addressed the problem of between the kaimo, but there still remains a problem of Lishma, then Rabba is the Machmir, and Rabba is Mekam. Elamai Binayu, so the Gemara says, so what are the nafkamina between Rabbah and Rabbah? After all, now we just found out Rabbah agrees with Rabbah. The answer is, as we just said, any time you've addressed Mitzvah Lekaimo, but not Lishma. Ikebinayim das Yu Beitrei. For example, let's say two Edim are carrying the get as Shliach LaHalacha. So you don't have a Mitzvah Lekaimo problem, because they can be Mekaim the get themselves. There are two witnesses. But if it's a get, maybe Dina Sayam, there's still a problem of Lishma. That's one Nafkamina. Inami, the Osa Medina, the Medina Sayam, what we said before. Let's say within the same borders of Medina Sayam, there's a Lishma problem, and Rabbah would require the Fananechtam of Fananechtam. Rabbah, on the other hand, between the Kaimo is no problem. Rabbah would be Machmir. Okay. That's what we have so far. Now let me step back for a moment. Let's analyze this a little bit further. Okay, number one. What do we start with? Shalot tachlok b'medina sayam and molech atumeg. Okay. So it could be that this argument that we encounter is an argument that we, you know, are familiar with. It's common. When you have a gzera, a takana, drabanan, right, it's meant to plug a hole. There's a certain vulnerability. That's why drabanan became involved, right? They saw the need to make an adjustment. So the question always is, for their adjustment to be effective, how objective and consistent does it need to be? The question of loplug. And here there's an argument, how concerned are we about this takana? How far do you have to push it? And there's an argument, lo tachlok bigvulos medina sayam. And there's another argument about loplug, molech atu meim. That's one way to look at it. It's consistent with many other sugyas. There's no problem. I would just add the following. The more tentative the takana, the less likely you are, generally speaking, to say this kind of loplug. Why? Let me just couch it in the following way. It gets you involved in the problem of gzeira l'gzeira. Right, sometimes the Gemara says, "Ein gozerin gzeira l'gzeira." You don't make one gzeira to bolster another gzeira. Other times the Gemara says, "It's not a problem." Kula chad gzeira. Now, what do we mean when we say kula chad gzeira? The question we understand, meaning a gzeira is already an adjustment of the din d'oraisa. You don't want to push it too far. Gzeira l'gzeira, it's too far. Mishmeres, but not mishmeres for mishmeres. Fine. You don't want to lose the din d'oraisa completely, right? Being too machmir sometimes ends up creating its own problems and its own abuses. So, ein gozerin gzeira l'gzeira. And what do we mean when we say kula chad gzeira? So here, it's just general terms, one could take two approaches. One is to say, we just said a second ago, for the gzeira to be effective and to close the hole, the vulnerability that motivated it, it has to be applied in a consistent way. So it may look like a double gzeira, is really just a function, it's a way of ensuring the effectiveness of the original gzeira. And that's what I mean when we say kula chad gzeira, meaning this is all part of, these are all details in that original gzeira. Sometimes, however, it has a different meaning. It means as follows. There are some gzeiras that are motivated by vulnerability, particular vulnerability, but the content, the token of that gzeira, transcends the vulnerability. The way to look at it is, there are two approaches to accomplish a certain goal. The normal approach, the daraisa approach, minimal approach of that works daraisa, is plagued with a certain problem. Let's say here, if I should be so abstract, there's a problem of chashash lishma. There's a problem of authentication of the signatures, mitzui and l'kai. Right? So instead of saying, as I was saying a second ago, so we have a very targeted solution, but in order for the targeted solution to be effective, right, we may have to bolster it by making it molechatu mevi, shalotachlok b'medina sayam, otherwise people are going to apply it improperly, and you're going to be left with the same problem that you started with. No, a different approach now. Instead of the solution targeting the actual vulnerability, the solution goes beyond that. It's a different approach to the process. This different approach is not plagued by this whole problem. In which case, in assessing the takana, I don't always have to go back to what motivated it. Because what motivated it is not identical with what it is, the token of what it is, the content of what it is. In applying it, I have to figure out what is consistent with the content of the takana, rather than simply with the motivation of the takana. In that sense, kula chad gzeira would mean not that in order for the gzeira to be effective, right, we sometimes have to make a gzeira on the gzeira, right, you know, to bolster it. But kula chad gzeira, you think this gzeira is nothing more than the plugging of the problem, but it's not. The problem motivated a different mahalach, a different vehicle. This vehicle has its own rules now. Okay. What do I mean when it comes to Fanenakta, Fanenakta? Oh. Well, hold off on that for one more second. Let me just say one other thing. So, if this is the case, so let's go back to the issue before. When you're dealing with a gzeira, which is a particularly precarious, you know, kind of a problem, right? So to say, you know, we need a serious solution, and we might even need to bolster the solution to make it effective. It's very reasonable. When you're dealing with a chashash rachok, a more unlikely, you know, difficulty, so then bolstering it again and again is a little more difficult to understand. What are we dealing with in the Fanenakta, Fanenakta? Let's always just remember. The Gemara says that from a Lishma problem, Rov Sifrei Dedaini Nigmar Gmiri. It may even be a Miyuta the Miyuta in Medina Sayam who are not careful about Lishma. That's the Sugya, and that's the Tosis. The Gemara and the Tosis on base and the base. If you talk about Mitsuyin Lekaimo, what do we say about Mitsuyin Lekaimo? Not Rov Mitsuyin, Reish Lakish. No, Rov Mitsuyin is the Lishma. But Mitsuyin Lekaimo is, you're going back to Chulam language. Right? Rov Mitsuyin Eitz HaShchita Mumkenei. Eitz HaMaksum HaLashar, Reish Lakish. Eitz HaMaksum HaLashar, Nasa Kanisha Nachro Yusuf and Bebezdin. We have Eidos that says, Ein Shtar Zeh, Ein Get Zeh, Mitsuyin. Why are we Choshesh? The Rabbanu Choshesh. So now we're going to say Shalotachlok in Medina Sayyad. Okay, fine. And we're even going to say Gazrinan Molechatu maybe. Isn't that Xero Xera? Well, the answer for the one who says it isn't is Kulachat Xera. But of which kind? Meaning, we're treating this problem very seriously. The only way to plug the hole, whatever size that hole is to be very, very consistent and objective about it, because otherwise people won't always plug it. That's the number one approach. Or, the problem that motivated all of this is one thing. The solution goes beyond the problem. What do I mean by the solution going beyond the problem? Instead of seeing the Fanenakta, let's take it in terms of Mitsuyin Lekaimo for the moment. The Ramban always says this, and it's certainly the more obvious way to read the Gemara. The problem is a problem of maybe it's Mizuyev. You should really require Kiyum Shtaros, the verification of signatures with two witnesses. The Drabanan, the Shumaguna, Kilo Drabanan, they said the Shliach is Neman Kibetrei to be Mekayim the Shtar. That's how the Ramban explains Fanat Faninachtam. That's undoubtedly the conventional way to see it. In other words, the Fanat Faninachtam is Kiyum Shtaros, Drabanan, Midrabana, an additional kula. Or, since we're really worried that might be Mizuyah Mitocho, so instead of doing Kiyum Drabana, you can't do Kiyum Drabana. Another way to do Kiyum Drabana on Kiyum Shtar is with two witnesses. The Faninachtam is a different method completely. The Faninachtam is a way of taking the Shliach and making him part of the original process of preparing the get, so that he isn't just a shliach, he's a quasi-bailin. Now when the Baal delivers a get to his wife, there's never chashash either of shelo lishma or of mezuyah. Why? There could be umdana reasons. It could be because, getting back to Reish Lakish, he's the Baal HaShtar. The Edim and the Shtar speak for him that what he's doing is Kedasu Kedin. Everything is Kedasu Kedin. In the hands of a Shliach, a third party, a neutral party, maybe the Edim don't really speak. Moreover, he's not really part of that process. But Lo Yitzir, we could take a Shliach and make him not just a Shliach, but somebody who is more an extension of the Bailim and can be treated as the Bailim with respect to this problem. So then we will have solved the problem of Chashash Lishma and Chashash Ziyuf. In which case, we're not dealing with Kiyum Shtaros Durabanan here, Mishumaguna Hekilu. We're dealing with a way of energizing, giving added stature to the Shliach LaHalacha. Now, if this is the case, so then you're not going to measure, in this particular case, we have the problem, we don't have the problem. We're talking about two different methods of Nesinas HaGet. There's the method of maybe get the Eretz Yisrael, where we don't have these problems, where you can use a regular Shliach. And then the Chutzlarts, we said you need an enhanced Shliach. A Shliach is a quasi Baldavar. Here already, when we say Shalotachlo Kumedina Sayam, or Molecha to maybe, it's not because of Gzeira L'Gzeira. It's not because we want to objectify so there won't be abuses, so that the solution can work better. The solution is not the plugging of a hole, but it's the problem, it's a different methodology of Nesinas HaGet. So we're saying, in Chutz La'aretz, we were mitakein Nesinas HaGet, Aidea Super Shliach. What makes him a Super Shliach? The fact that he was there at the Fanai Nachtam, and he can report about it. That's going to go both ways. You're not going to say, or at least you could say that, Zeras Molich to maybe. Or, that's Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz. Let's draw the lines clearly. If that's the case, so maybe we can now understand the two issues in Rashi. And this is a speculation. I haven't seen this. I'm just suggesting it. What were the two problems in Rashi? Rashi seemed to say that if there is a b'di'evit problem when the get is delivered and there's no b'fanei nechtam, it's not just a chisaron in the get, it's a chisaron, it's a pgam in the shliach. What does that do with the shliach? But according to what we're suggesting now, b'fanei nechtam is not just kiyum shtaros drabanan mishumaguna ikilu, it is a method of giving the get al yaday an enhanced shliach slash baldavar, which makes the problem of mezuyah or lishma go away. So if you don't do it, you don't have this enhanced shliach. You need a super shliach when you deliver a get chutz la'aretz. If you don't have it, it's a begam of the shlichus. Moreover, now we can understand point number two in Rashi, which was, what would the lachatchila in Eretz Yisrael have been? That he needs to pronounce b'fanei nechtam. It would have been okay for me if Rashi said that, but he doesn't. Instead, Rashi focuses on his not being present at the time of the Ksivas HaGet. And we asked, what is the presence at the time of the Ksivas HaGet? Why is that relevant one way or another? We know of amiras b'fanei nechtam, or silence in b'fanei nechtam. Being present b'fanei nechtam, or having the ability to say it, if you so choose, what's relevant about that, separate from actually conveying and communicating? Now, if you take the view that b'fanei nechtam is about kiyum shtaros, but with an even lower threshold shear, mishumaguna kilu, you can get away with a single person, maybe even a karov, as long as he's a shliach, etc., then what's important in the end of the day is the amira of b'fanei nechtam, because that's the words b'fanei nechtam, there's no kiyum. However, if what we really need is an enhanced shliach, a quasi-baldavar, to be involved in this process, right? So in a certain respect, it's not just the saying of b'fanei nechtam, it's also, and maybe even in some respect, even sufficiently, the presence at the time when the get was commissioned, b'fanei nechtam, that makes you more than simply a shliach lahalacha. So it could be that the two anomalies in Rashi are really connected. Now, L'halacha, do we say all these low plugs or not? Actually, before I get to that, let me just make one other point. Just to drive this home a little bit more. The Gemara that Gimel Amud Aleph, which we saw way back when, asked a simple question. The Rabba by Tamil the Amar Karabba, just a little review. Gimel Amud Aleph. Right, this is about a third from the bottom, going up from the bottom of the page, a third of the way up. About 12 or 13 lines from the bottom of the page. Right, the Gemara is going, again, Rabba, 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 Rabba. The Gemara is analyzing the problem. So the Gemara says like this. The Rabba might have a lamaka Rabba. How come Rabba doesn't like Rabba? In the end, Saran, now we know, in Daf Dalet Amud Beis, that the Gemara thinks that Rabba does like Rabba. He just thinks you need more. Fine. Either way, this line stands anyway. Amalach, he'll tell you the following. In Cain, if Rabba was right, and the only problem is the problem of authenticating the signatures between the Kaimo, Nisni b'fonei nachtam b'sulo, b'fonei nachtav lamali. Why do we care about b'fonei nachtav? You have to say b'fonei nachtav, b'fonei nachtav. According to Rabba, why do you have to say b'fonei nachtav? Lishma. But according to Rabba, why do you have to say b'fonei nachtav? It's all about whether the chasimos are authentic. Why do you need b'fonei nachtav at all? Very good question, the Gemara asks. So the Gemara gives an interesting answer. Shema mina bina lishma. Oh, the Rabba, what will Rabba answer to this? B'dinu delisni hachi. You're right. In theory, you could get away with b'fonei nachtav. But if you allow people to say only b'fonei nachtam, then they'll say, you know what? This is kiyum shtaros with a single aid. Don't you require two aidim in kiyum shtaros? In other words, the simple reading of the Gemara here, what the Gemara is saying is to differentiate the process of kiyum shtaros bialma and b'fonei nachtam, to differentiate them, we require the extraneous, right, recitation of b'fonei nachtam, b'fonei nachtam. The simple reading, the way the Ramban undoubtedly would read it, everybody, most Rishonim would read it, would be to say, in Akhanami there's absolutely no substantive contribution ki huzeh to b'fonei nachtam. It doesn't contribute a thing. It's there, right, to differentiate, technically, between the kiyum shtaros of Mishuma Guna Kilu Rabbanan and the kiyum shtaros of the Alma. We needed something to make this look different. It has no content whatsoever, but this additional statement of b'fonei nachtav is there so that you won't confuse this special additional kula with the routine. In its own right, it serves no purpose and no function. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Now, that's the way most Rishonim understand it, for sure. There is an interesting discussion in the Rishonim, because Rabba obviously doesn't feel that way. Our Gemara here in Dalet Amud Beis, that we just read, says that Malacha, Rabba agrees with Rabba too. So the Rishonim discuss, now that that's so, does Rabba still think that the only reason for b'fonei nachtav is lishma? For example, in a case where there's no lishma problem, according to Rabba, we now know that Rabba says two things, right? He says there's a problem of lishma, and there's a problem of mitzui in the kaima. Now, let's say according to Rabba, you'll have a case where there's no problem lishma; there's only a problem of mitzui in the kaima. According to Rabba, you'll be able to just say b'fonei nachtam? It's according to Rabba, you always have to say b'fonei nachtam, b'fonei nachtam. The Gemara said, how come? Shelo taklof b'kim shtaros di'alma. Fine. But according to Rabba and Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara said, why do you have to say b'fonei nachtam? For lishma, that was his objection against Rabba. Does that objection remain even when the Gemara concludes that Rabba is accepted by Rabba? What's accepted? Only that there's also a problem of Mitzui and Lekaimo? Or that Mitzui and Lekaimo, Shelo Tachlo Pekim Shtaros, would be a good reason to say B'fonei Nechtav still? That's not so clear. So the Baal HaTosis and the Baal HaMor, Rav Moshe Bar Yosef, the Rebbe of the Baal HaMor, said, yeah, I mean, for sure. According to Rabbah, when the problem is limited to the Tzui and the Kaimo, you really could say only before the Nechtam. That would be amazing. But that's what he says. Baal HaMor and Baal HaTosis disagree. And they say, even though there's a difference between Rabbah and Rabbah, but whenever there's a Lishma problem, right, there's a requirement to say before I Nechta for two reasons. They're metakin it for Lishma, but once they're metakin it because of Lishma, they wouldn't have only been metakin it for the reason of Mitzvah Mekaimo. Once they were metakin because of Lishma, so the Takana applies even when there's no problem of Lishma, and there's only a problem of Mitzuyin Lekaim. Where does Tosa say this? In a bunch of places, including including here on Hey Amin Aleph. Second. Okay. Oh no, sorry. Here on Daud of Beis and Hey Amin Aleph. Look at Daud of Beis for a minute. Rabba Islay de Rabba. Small tosis on Daud HaMedes, second last tosis. Dim Tomar, Amay Tzorech L'Rabba B'Fanai Nechtav, Mehegemonia L'Hegemonia. Take that concrete case. Eretz Yisrael, right? No problem with Lishma. But Mehegemonia L'Hegemonia, from one jurisdiction to another, you require Fanai Nechtav, even according to Rabba, because he agrees with Rabba that there's a problem with Mitzuyin L'Kaimah. So now we've isolated for Rabba no Lishma problem, and yes, a Mitzui and the Kaimo problem. So Tosa says, if that's the case, why do you have to say Befanai Nechtav? You should be able to say only Befanai Nechtav. V'harabba l'chayish l'chlufe. After all, he's not worried about l'chlufe nishum kim sharos, kim de yodanu l'mahani. Issue. That's a different point. Meaning, right, as a standalone, Mitzvah and the Kaima wouldn't have been reason to be Mitaki and Befanai Nechta, but since they were talking Lishma, even where Lishma doesn't apply, you still have to say Befanai Nechta for the whole thing. It's a Nutzach that you have to say. As they, Rav Moshe Rav Yosef, the Rebbe of the Baal HaMor, is more extreme. He says, no, you're right. You would only say before the next time, according to Rabba. Wow. The Ramban, on the other hand, the Ramban says, even Baal HaTosis are not going far enough in the Baal HaMor. The whole idea of the Gemara, the whole discussion of the Gemara that Rabba doesn't require Befanai Nechtav for Mitzui and Lekaimo is only before the Gemara knew that Rabba agrees with Rabba. Once we know that Rabba agrees with Rabba, the requirement of Shabbatachlov, the Kiyam Shtaros, the Alma, applies to Rabba every bit as much as Rabba. Interesting argument. Now, aside from the fact that it's an interesting point and there could be nafkamina, why am I emphasizing all of this? So let me get back to it for a second. This idea, Shalotachla Bekim Shtar, as I mentioned before, is generally understood the way I just explained it, which is, Befanai Nechtav doesn't add any value whatsoever to the problem of Mitzui and the Kaim. It's about authenticating the signatures of the witnesses. What is Befanai Nechtav? It's only there to differentiate, to establish the difference between Kim Shtoros Bialma and here, according to Rav. But if what I'm saying is correct, which is, there's another approach to the whole Takana Befanai Nechtav, Befanai Nechtav. Why do we make the Takana? Because of Mitzui and Lekaimo. What is the Takana that we made? We require not only a regular Shliach, but a Shliach whose involvement, right, is more intense, which establishes him as a kind of quasi-bailim, which links him to the preparation. He's not just carrying the get, but he's there when the get is being prepared. If that's the case, so then we have another way to explain Shalotaklov B'Kiyam Shtaros. It doesn't mean this is Kiyam Shtaros Drabanan, but just so you don't get confused and use it for regular Kiyam Shtaros, we built an artificial difference. No. Shalotaklov B'Kiyam Shtaros the Alma is a substantive statement. Namely, when you have two witnesses verifying a signature, that's called kim shtaros. The funny nechtav isn't kim shtaros mishumagino kirabanan. You don't need kim shtaros because you have upgraded the role of the shliach laholacha. And one of the ways that you've done that is the reason that he has to say b'fonei nechtav shalotachlov. Namely, because you've made him part of the process of preparing the get. So shalotachlov b'kim shtaros d'alma ayideh amiras b'fonei nechtav ends up being part of the substance of why b'fonei nechtav works. Let me say something else. The Gemara on...
So use your point. Don't put on one to make a super...
From Funny Nechtam.
Yeah.
Not from Funny Nechtam. Right, but I'm saying at least you can understand now why even that makes it even more or earlier part of the connection. This idea I should mention, and it's also connected, that the Funny Nechtam is a requirement of Funny Nechtam, Funny Nechtam. And in light of the fact that it's only Shalotachlov, Bekim, Shtaros, the Alma, when you consider that, it's even more amazing to understand that it's really Ma'akev, the Get. If you look at the first mission in the second parak of Gittin, Tez Vav Amid Aleph, just for a minute. The mission says as follows. I may be getting Medina Sayyab. This is serious business. You bring a get from Medina Sayyab, you're supposed to say b'fanei nechtam, right? Let's say, Omar b'fanei nechtam, Avalo b'fanei nechtam. He said only the first part, not the second part. Well, that's really Ikar Chasim and HaSefer. But let's say he said b'fanei nechtam, Avalo b'fanei nechtam. He omitted the b'fanei nechtam, but he said the b'fanei nechtam, exactly our case that we were talking about. Or b'fanei nechtav kulo, but b'fanei nechtav only chetzio. He only saw one signature, not two. Or b'fanei nechtav chetzio, he didn't see the entire ksiva, only parts. What does that mean? We'll get to in a second. B'fanei nechtav kulo, but both signatures. In these cases, puzzle. This isn't just a lechatchila. B'fanei nechtav kulo is ma'ake, b'diyeb, midraban. Okay. Echad omer b'fanei nechtav, echad omer b'fanei nechtam. Let's say the one guy says, you have two witnesses, one says b'fanei nechtav, the other says b'fanei nechtam, pasul. Shnayim omer b'faneinu nechtav, echad omer b'fanei nechtam, pasul. Look at the Gemara, b'fanei nechtav kule b'fanei nechtam chetzio pasul. Five lines from the Gemara, from six lines from the bottom of the Gemara. Everybody have that? Again, what is the case? B'fanei nechtav kulo, b'fanei nechtam chetzio puzzle. Let's say the guy says, we witnessed, the shliach said, I witnessed the entire ksiva, but I only witnessed one of the Edom signing. Puzzle. Isn't that obvious? If one of the Edom in the get is mezuyah, or lo lishma, it's just as bad as if both were. So the Mishnah has a havamina that b'fanei nechtam chetzio would be sufficient? This is what bothered the Gemara. So the Gemara says an amazing thing. Amar Rav Chisda, afilu shnayim mi'idim al chasimas yad sheni, pasul. The case isn't that the aid comes along and he says, I can testify about one chasima, but not the other. Of course that would be pasul. You don't need a Mishnah to tell you that. What really happened was, the shliach comes to court, and he says, I can testify about one of the Edom. And then two other Edom come to court, says Rav Chisda, and they say, we recognize the second guy's signature. That's a real Kiyum Shtaros. So you have half of a Funei Nechtam, let's call it, and half of a real Kiyum Shtaros. So Rav Chisda says it's possible. Possible? My time, huh? O kula b'kiyum aget, o kula b'takanis chachamim. You can't mix and merge kiyum aget and takanis chachamim b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtam. So the Ramban, who as I say is very remarkably consistent. Daf Dalet, Daf Hey, Tezbav, the Mochamos in the first and second parak, the Mochamos in Ksuvas, Tavkaf Aleph Amin Aleph, probably many other places. Ramban is very consistent. Ramban says the Fanenachtam is a Kiyam Shtaros, Drabanan Drabanan. It's a more Makel Kiyam Shtaros. He has a tough time reading Rav Chisda. He says, I don't understand what's going on with Rav Chisda. What do you mean, Okulo v'takanis kachamim, Okulo v'kiyam shtaros? The takanis kachamim is just a form of kiyam shtaros with a lower standard of egos. Which is why the next line in the Gemara, that's essentially the Gemara's question in the next line, but for the Ramban it's even worse. The Gemara says, Maskef la rabba, mi'ikim mididilo amarchad kosher hashtadika trey pasul? If one guy would say, I know both of these chasimos to be good, or I know the second chasima to be good, we believe him. So if two regular witnesses come and they say, we attest to the authenticity of the signature, it's no good. How could that be? Right? So Ramban says, that's a very powerful argument. So powerful that it's almost impossible to understand what was going through Rav Chisda's mind to begin with, when you consider, says the Ramban, that Bifanenachtam is just a form, albeit one with less rigorous requirements, of Kiyam Shtaros. Then the Gemara goes on to say, Elamar Rava, Afilu Huv Echad Meidim. What is the case then? Huv Echad Meidim Aksimat Yad Sheni. Pasul. He says about one of the signatures, Bifanenachtam, and about the second signature, he says, I wasn't there when he signed, but I recognize it, and I have a colleague who also recognizes his handwriting. Right? So that's Huve Echad Me'idim Al Chasimas Yad Sheni. Why is that possible? The Gemara says, my time, huh? Also, Lachrufe B'Kiyam Shtaros De'Alma. Again, it looks too much like what's not going to work in Kiyam Shtaros B'Alma. V'Kanafak Nechiriva De'Mamona Apuma D'Chad Tzad. Because it looks like one witness is responsible for three quarters of the action here. He is fully responsible for half, meaning one of the witnesses, and he's half responsible for the second witness. So in a certain way of looking at it, he's three quarters responsible for the kashrus of this get. And that doesn't look good. So again the Gemara says, Maskef Ravashi, Mi'ikim mididi l'masik la'iyu l'kule dibure kasher. If he had just said, I b'fanei nechtam shneihem, it'd be fine. But by joining up with the other guy, and there are two witnesses on the second kasima, which is better than simply relying on him, so the better standard is going to be possible. Hashadika chadba hadei possible. So he's a third option. Elam Ravashi. Afilo omrani hu aid sheni possible. In Kiyam Shtaros, if the aid himself says, I'm Ruvain, this is my signature. That's all you need. So let's say the guy says, Bifanai nechtam chetzio. Well, first signature belongs to Ploni, and I was there when he signed. And the second signature is me. That's the problem. My taima, once again, O kula b'kiyo maget, O kula b'takanis chachamim. So what's going on? What is this thing, O kula b'kiyo maget, O kula b'takanis chacham? So the answer is, according to the Ramban, Udi'ime, and the conventional way of looking at b'fanei nechtam, it's a very difficult read. This last one in particular, Balitosis, Rishalmi, I don't know if we'll get to it or not, but it's a very fascinating sense of Nogei Abedavar. He's trying to, you know, reinforce his own Chatzima. They have to search, expend great effort to try to explain what is this Okiyam Aged of Kula B'Takanis Chachamim. However, if we accept my general approach or something like it, which is B'Fanei Nechtam isn't Kiyam Drabanan, Fanenachtam is a different approach to Havas Haget, which makes Kiyum Shtaros unnecessary. So then the idea of Okulav Kiyum Haget, Okulav Zakaris Chachamim, is much more palatable. What we're saying is you can't operate with two systems. If you're talking about Kiyum Shtaros with a higher and a lower standard, well, the higher standard can never be absolute. But if you're talking about half bolstering the role of the shliach and half being mekayim the chasima of one of the edim, those two systems, the apples and oranges, they don't necessarily go together. So if this is the case, we could understand that there may be a whole second approach to the takana b'fanei nechtam. We'll stop here. I want to continue next time. Number one, do we paskin these low plugs or not? That's one issue, which is interesting on another level as well. And then to continue through these Gemaras to see these two approaches, if they can be traced.